Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yep.
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 Yep. Yesterday, we promised we would take some phone calls about Tom Petty here on Tom Petty Week. You know, Patrick, I just want to say that we have done theme weeks several times on Rockin' Suburbs with Jim Lenihan and
Patrick Foster.
And this week with
Phil Ingrassi.
Yes. Thank you, Phil.
And we, I think at one point, thought we would probably do a Tom Petty Week just because he's Tom Petty. And he's worthy of a week.
We had it in the works, I think, a couple times. We've talked about, you know, we're doing a thing now, the Big Five. And, certainly you could pick five Petty albums. You could make an argument for the first five, right? You could make an argument for the middle five. Yeah. There's lots of things you can do. Yeah.
So we probably would have done a week of, you know, Tom Petty tribute at some point anyway.
And, Jim, it's like we talked about earlier that, you know, on our first reaction show, you just maybe said, hey, I'm not going to catch Tom on this tour, but he'll be around in a few years, and I'll get him then. And that's how we felt about the albums. We'll get to him. He's going to be around. It's no problem.
So let me just touch on that real quickly about the tours and the live shows.
Yeah.
Phil earlier talked about seeing Tom Petty live.
Yep.
You have seen him live, correct?
I have. Mm-hmm.
When was that?
Well, I saw him first on the 1982 tour. Which
Long
I believe
Dark.
Is Long After Dark.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite albums. And I was in high school at that time, and I saw him. And I saw him a couple of times in the later 80s. Saw him once in the 90s, and I once reviewed him in the mid-90s. So I've seen him probably four or five times total.
Wow, that's really good.
Different size arenas.
I only have one time, and it was about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So like mid-2000s decade. And it was in Indian Wells, California, at the Indian Wells Tennis Complex.
Wow, that's funny. It's a very Dylan thing to do.
Nice. Yeah.
What's funny about it is if it's an outdoor stadium, but it's around like a tennis court, so it's almost like the size of a basketball arena, but outdoors.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But here was the great thing about that live show was, I think it was because it was in Southern California.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks showed up.
Oh, my God.
And came out for the encore.
I would have exploded.
And they did, of course, Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Nice.
But she also backed him up and sang with him on I Need to Know.
Oh, is that right?
It was really fun.
How fantastic.
It was great.
That's really great.
It was a great experience. And, you know, people have talked a lot about what a great live band the Heartbreakers were.
Oh.
And it's everything people say is true. It's a great live show. He had an amazing ability to sort of command attention without putting on a necessarily like a theatrical show, you know. It was all about the music and the energy that came from the music, right?
Talk a little bit about that, Phil, because I feel like they were a band that were so intuitive because they played together so long that they, you know, they could go on a tiny cue that Tom would give them and they'd be somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were a visual band in a lot of ways. If you think about some of the videos they made, obviously, and when I saw him, they did have stagecraft. It wasn't, you know, Tom out there under a spotlight. He had all kinds of stuff going on usually. But I will say just the musicianship that they had with Bent Montench and Howie Epstein when I saw him for the first time and of course, Mike Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have the goods and they could deliver it. They could have delivered it with just a spotlight, but he did put on a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
So I promise we're going to take some calls that came in to our suburban party line.
Very excited, Jim.
Talking about Petty. I just have them here in kind of a random order, so I'm just going
to
play the first one, all right?
We'll talk about it.
Hey, Jim and Pat. It's Coop from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm just calling about Tom Petty. There's not much I can say that you haven't already said on the show. He was just a master. It's a classic, and it really is a travesty that we lost him. But the one thing that not a lot of people mention about him is his playfulness. I was lucky enough to see him a couple of years ago, and he's, while he didn't, there wasn't a lot of stage banter, he whenever he spoke, it was hysterical. The one thing that really stands out to me is he said, I wrote this song in 1988. At least that's what they tell me. So it was a lot of jokes, a lot of quips like that. But, one of my favorite Tom Petty songs, is Girl on LSD. It's very funny. I think that really sums up his playfulness and how he can take a song and really, really make it funny from start to finish. But anyway, keep up the good work, and thanks for honoring Tom Petty.
All right, that's Adam Koop from Louisville.
Ah, the Koop!
He's been on the show before.
The Koop.
So Girl from LSD came up again.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Girl on LSD, I'm sorry, up again. That's funny. People like his sense of humor, right?
And totally.
Not to make this a comparison between Petty and other famous artists who I won't name right now, because that's not what it's really about. But I think one of the things that separates Petty from a lot of his contemporaries is, although I think he obviously took his craft very seriously, he never took himself seriously.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so many other guys, especially back in the 70s, took themselves so seriously. It's the era of big, bloated excess and pompous rock stars, right?
Which goes back to his ability to sort of, ride out these decades so well.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's get to another call here.
Yeah, pick up the phone. Give us a call. We got a full answering machine, Jim.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. Jimmy Linetti here. I think all the party line people are in mourning this week. Just want to share my thoughts on Tom Petty. And I'm going to go kind of a non-musical route here. I think maybe some people know this, or maybe they don't, but the guy must have had a great sense of humor, because he was the voice of Lucky on King of the Hill. That was Lou Ann's boyfriend. And I just thought it was classic. That was perfect casting on the part of the show. And like I said, Tom Petty must have a pretty good sense of humor to portray that character. There's lots of clips on YouTube of Lucky, the classic one about how he got his nickname.
Lucky. Why they call you Lucky?
True story. I was at Costco one day, and all of a sudden the nature called. Yelled is more like it. So I hightailed it into the John, and there's some sensitive guy changing his little boy's diaper on one of them baby ironing boards. And don't you know I slipped on pee-pee and broke two vertebrae which had to be fused together? I'm in constant pain, but by God, I got me a $53,000 settlement.
But anyways, that's what I like to remember Tom Petty for, his sense of humor and being able to play a character like that on TV. I thought it was just classic. Anyways, guys, thanks. Hopefully the next time I call in, be on a better occasion.
Do you guys remember, too, that Tom Petty also was on Larry Sanders' show? Do you remember that show, Phil?
Vaguely.
I do
With
remember
Gary Shandling?
That. Yeah.
And he was on The Simpsons, too. Wow.
Yeah, That's he right. had a funny thing on The Simpsons. And he was also on Gary Shandling's earlier sitcom that he had before called It's Gary Shandling Show. He was like, I think he played himself, but he was like, the next door neighbor. It was as if like just Tom Petty lived next door.
Can you guys keep it down?
Yeah.
King of the Hill, this is all I'll say about how
this feels very King of the Hill right here,
yeah,
by the way.
It really does.
Drinking beer and just sitting here going, yep.
And this kind of feels like to me that Tom Petty would do this show because he understood the humor. There's once a scene, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, where Hank Hill, I believe, is trying to do some work in his garage or something, and he grabs a can of WD-40, and he tries to spray something and loosen it up. But for some reason, the WD-40's not spraying, so out of his little tool belt, he pulls a smaller can of WD-40 to spray on the WD-40 so the WD-40 will work. Right?
Yes.
That's and that Tom Petty would be on that show and find that funny.
Yeah, WD-40 and duct tape.
That's right. That's freaking hilarious, man.
Suburban tool.
I need the small can, because they always sold the small can, Jim, as well as the big can. So it was brilliant American pop culture, and he got that.
I think, in sort of in a lot of his music, there's sort of a wry quality to it.
Absolutely.
He has a Christmas song that was recorded, late 80s or right around 1990 or something like that, that you hear, you know, every year it comes around, called It's Christmas Time Again. And it's so funny. It has like little, just little lines about like long distance relatives. We kind of miss them. We just don't want to kiss them. Things like that. You know, like just great little
very
bits, you know,
Lampoon. Yeah.
It's a great, you know, it's a really a funny Christmas song because it observes the things that are just weird about Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
All right, so that's a couple of calls.
Yep.
We have some more.
Let's do it.
But I'm kind of exhausted right now, and my beer's empty, so let's take a little break first.
Let's do that.
All right, while we're taking this break, we should take a moment to promote the fact that we're going to do a live show.
It's coming up soon, Jim.
We're not nearly as good on stage as the Heartbreakers, but we're going to try.
Yeah,
we're going to give it our all.
We'll be there in person.
We will. It'll be a live recording of Rockin' the Suburbs on October 21st, starting at around noon at Black Walnut Brewery in Leesburg, Virginia.
More suburban than that.
Not at all. And we're going to have a special guest, singer-songwriter Lisa Saeed, and she's going to talk with us and play some music.
Can't wait.
So we hope to see you all there.
Please arrive on time.
We have some more calls here. I'm going to empty out this answering machine.
Right.
I'm getting back to the machine.
I hope that wasn't that one message I left the other night when I couldn't find my keys to the Rockin' Suburbs house. I just wanted to get in.
That might be on here.
Okay.
We'll see.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. This is John Off from Bunker Hill. Really glad that you're doing the shows next week, although obviously very sorry for the situation that will be the cause of those shows. I mean, to me, I lived in the Midwest, and about the Midwest you can get, right in the middle of Indiana. And he was pretty much a rock god here. We all kind of identified with him, and he never failed to cause me to take pause. I mean, there were several songs I heard played on the radio for the first time, and I just stopped and go, "Whoa, I've not heard anything like that." I mean, from the very first now breakdown, Refugee, from Damn the Torpedoes, I Won't Back Down. As you can imagine, Mary Lee Jane's Last Dance is really popular here in Indiana with all the Indiana references. And then I'm a Tom Petty fan, but I haven't listened to all of his stuff, so I just started listening to couple of the albums that I haven't heard yet, and I hear a rocker like Change of Heart, and again, it just kind of blew me away. Pretty much straight-ahead rocker, but absolutely great song. But for me, I mean, I love Southern accents. The most complete album maybe in my entire collection is Wildflowers. Not just the tracking, but it shows the complete scope of what he is able to do, from the song Wildflowers to a rocker like Honeybee or Cabin Down Below. It also includes my very favorite Tom Petty song, Crawling Back to You. It's a hidden gem. I mean, I listen to it at least once a week, if not more. I mean, I can't get enough of that. That song, Crawling Back to You, from his Wildflowers album is just a fantastic song. I think it shows the depth of his songwriting. Quick Tom Petty song or story, just because it happened on Tuesday. I do a little trivia contest in a town close to here, and the last category is always music, and we do song, title, and author. And usually I just let the last song play out, but couldn't let the time pass to not kind of pay tribute to him, so I thought I'd flick a little Tom Petty song on in the background when we were tallying up the scores, and it happened to be Learning to Fly. And everybody all of a sudden asked me to turn it up. And usually I just play it for a couple of minutes until I get all the tallies done. They wouldn't let me turn it off. And they all were singing. This is a contest with maybe 50, 60 people from 20 somethings to 60 somethings. They knew all of them knew all of the words, and it kind of gave me goosebumps to hear them all kind of as one paying tribute to somebody that I think they recognized as, you know, a true pioneer in what he did and the scope of the things that he did. So I'm really depressed to hear about his passing, but I know that his music will for sure live on, and I look forward to hearing about those shows next week. Keep up the great work. You guys have introduced me to a lot of music that I didn't know anything about, and hopefully, occasionally some listeners can tip you off to a couple things that maybe you haven't heard. So great job again, Jim and Patrick. I'll be listening. Thanks for the time. Bye. I'm learning to fly, bang got wings, coming down
is the hardest thing. Let's go back to the party line.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, it's Justin Steiner from Valparaiso, Indiana. Wanted to call and share some Tom Petty memories. This one's tough. Bowie and Prince last year and everything, that was tough too, but Petty is just, I don't know, for me, he's one of those top line guys, and it's just, I can't believe that we're in a world that we're not going to get new Tom Petty music and that he's not going to be around. Anyway, I associate Petty with the car, like, you know, Petty memories are in the car. I first heard Full Moon Fever at the full album at Thanksgiving. My cousin had a copy on cassette, and we were driving around Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where we all gathered, and that was the first time I heard the whole album. Those singles were all over in the summer of 89. That was the year I graduated high school, actually, and it just was amazing hearing all those songs off of that album I hadn't heard before. And when I got a CD player not too long after that Thanksgiving, Full Moon Fever was one of the first ones I bought. You know, later years, then in the car, I would drive all over and Petty, you know, often my soundtrack. I was the at-home dad, so my son was in the back seat a lot on these car trips, and he wasn't necessarily into the music that I played, but you know, he knew Petty. He recognized Petty. He would sing Free Fallin' along with me, which was a change from what he wanted to listen to, like all that video game music that he's into and still is into at the age of 20, but he knows Free Fallin'. Car trips. I always have CDs with me. You know, I'm 46. I still have that kind of attachment, even though I listen to podcasts and Sirius and all that too. One of the CDs I have with me every car trip I go on, even if I don't always listen to it, but I usually do, is Wildflowers. That album is so good. All the rockers, you know, you got your You Wreck Me and Honeybee with those amazing guitar solos, but you have the slower stuff, the beatly bop of To Find a Friend, and the moodiness of Crawling Back to You, all of that. It's such a great driving album because of all the different moods on it. Finally, to kind of circle back around to Full Moon Fever, last Christmas I was in a Petty, you know, around that time I was in a Petty dive again, as I get into every 6 months or so. It just seems like it's time to listen to a lot of Petty in the car. And I put Full Moon Fever in as my brother and my wife and I were driving down to my parents for Christmas Eve, and the three of us sang along almost the whole time. Just, one of those bonding experiences, and the music that you love and that's part of the fabric of you. Just amazing to kind of do that. So anyway, I played Free Fallin' for my fifth graders this week as a tribute, and we talked about music and why it matters to you. And so, yeah, Petty, I appreciate you guys listening, and thanks for the show. I'm looking forward to hearing the thoughts from everybody on next week's episode. So rest in power, Tom Petty. Man, still hurts. All right, guys, thanks. It was a beautiful day, sun beat down, I hit the radio wall, I was driving, trees went by, me and Del were singing, a little runaway, I was flying.
You know, there's two things for me, and I'm obviously a strange person, but the two bands for me, Jim, that I love to listen to in the car, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and Superchunk.
Yeah, you've mentioned the Superchunk before, but why
the music
Tom Petty?
Just cuts through in the same way. It's just got a thing that it doesn't matter if it, both your windows are down or all four or the top's down or how much dump trucks are driving by you. They still cut through and they don't get drowned out.
All right. Well, the good stuff. Okay, I think we have one more call.
Okay,
one
great.
More call.
Yep.
Hey, this is Kevin Clement from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was calling regarding the Tom Petty episodes. I was introduced to Tom Petty in a very probably unique way. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and a cousin or an aunt, I can't remember, gave me a copy of Chipmunk Punk, which was Alvin and the Chipmunks. And on there, they weren't really very punk songs, but they did have Blondie's Call Me, The Cars, The Knack, a few bands like that. And they also had Tom Petty's Refugee on there. And that was kind of my introduction. So kind of from there I went and probably was a few years older at that time. I started getting some of the other albums. I got Band of Torpedoes, which Refugee is on, and then some of also The Knack and everybody else there. And just that really started my love for that type of music. And I've been buying Tom Petty albums ever since. So definitely will be deeply missed. He's a great musician, great, what can you say about the guy? He was just the consummate musician and wrote some great songs. It was really awesome music. So thank you so much, fellas, and I look forward to hearing the episodes. Thanks. Bye.
That was unexpected.
That is a unique way to get introduced to Tom Petty.
You know, a couple things, Jim. It warms my heart when certain people call. Kevin is one of those people.
Yes.
I love to make sure that he's doing great and still listening. George, from Hong Kong, and
right.
Doug from Richmond. There's a lot, man.
Yes.
Every time I hear so many people, I get heartworn. But, you know, I just... Who gets in a Petty because of the Chipmunks? It's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's the most rock in the suburb story we've had in a long time.
Which is funny because Kevin is from Baton Rouge. And so I thought what he was going to say was the song Louisiana Rain.
Something.
Which references Baton Rouge.
Something other than the Chipmunks.
That would make a lot of sense, but no. Chipmunks, yeah. Oh, I don't even know where to go with
goodness,
that.
Goodness, yeah.
Back to the sense of humor,
maybe.
Though,
right? Yeah, well, it's just an emerging
theme. That's one way to build a record collection, though, is to, get all those
Alvin
covers.
Alvin had great taste.
Couldn't you just play Damn the Torpedoes, faster, at 78 or something like that, and get the same thing, right?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe they had a nuance. Maybe they did a breakdown in there. I'm not familiar with the version.
However you get there. That's
all
cool.
Right. That's exactly.
That's
exactly.
It, Phil.
And Kevin
Thank you.
Is a great music fan.
Well
so.
Said, Phil. And I have a lot of records, but I don't have that.
Yeah.
You're not a completist.
No.
And we're not going to play it either.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe.
Okay, we got to get going here. We have
yeah,
one more day of Tom Petty Week where we're going to each pick. Just are we going to limit it to one song? One song.
This has been, I'll just say this quickly to set up tomorrow. It's been an emotional week. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I don't know how long it's been. It's tough right now, Jim and Phil, right? Living in America, man, times are hard sometimes. And we're all trying our best and we're all hanging on to stuff. And you hear people here talking about how much music means to them and how it gets them through hard times. And we've had messages and, you sent me a text today that was very moving. And it's just... we're going to just, I think, boil it down to three songs and say these are the Petty songs that keep us going.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That'll be tomorrow. And one just quick thing. People have touched on this a little bit. We haven't really addressed it at all, and I don't want to dwell on it, but that shooting that took place in Las Vegas was an assault on a concert, right? Yeah. On music fans.
That's right. It happened in Paris. It happened in USA.
At a music festival. Yep. And there's word, there's reports that this particular person also apparently staked out other music festivals before this happened. You know, the only thing I'm going to say about that is that, you know, it's a terrible tragedy anytime any of these shootings happen, but especially, I think for us and our interests, the idea that you target people who are just, you know, they're having a good time in this communal sort of event, just I think is particularly troubling. And we've talked about this before, too, though. The good thing is that music also can serve to heal us and get us through all
That's
of that.
Right. Well,
and
said.
Third thing, it's not going to stop me from going to any shows.
Hell no. Hell
you
no.
Know, that, I, you know, I'm not going to change the things. I'm not going to give up the things I love because of things like this. So,
well said, Jim.
And you know, if you guys are fans of in this particular case, Jason Aldean, crank it up, man. Play it even louder the next time you hear it, right?
Right. Well said.
All right. Okay, with that, we're going to get out of here. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Phil and Gross.
With us all this week. We're not going to go through all the closing business. You guys know where to find us, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.
Circumstances don't, you know, arise from our choosing. They're circumstances that are forced upon us, but, you know, that gives us that sense of family that we're trying to strive for here, Jim.